Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I am Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life, and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy.
Sean, it's so great to be back at our kitchen table. And literally, this is like a Thanksgiving table.
It is.
It's a Thanksgiving table. And we thought, who do we want to have as we all are thinking about the holidays, thinking about Thanksgiving and our families and food? What name comes to mind to you, Sean?
The McLemores.
The McLemores. And today we have John
and
John.
It is family and food is the McLemores. That's like, that is their title.
Yeah, that is. Like, it could just be like their middle names.
Yeah, that's our motto.
Yes, it's your motto. So John and John, but also we're so lucky to have with us Tanya. John Senior's beautiful wife, Tanya.
You don't call her Tanya. You call her Mama Mac.
Mama Mac.
Mama Mac.
I love it.
What I've just learned in the first 30 seconds of this podcast is I don't matter.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So
you're the candy.
I'm the candy.
I'll tell you that.
So
well, that's what Mama Mac says that, I guess.
I'm sure she does.
She calls me Daddy.
Daddy.
Well, actually, let's start there because one of the things we talk a lot about the McLemores and food and Master Built and all the food they make for our show that makes everybody want to go and buy all the Master Built products and start cooking with their families. But there is a story behind this family. And we're going to talk about the company a little bit. Maybe we start there because I really want to make sure we leave time, John, for the love story because I do know the love story and it's really, really cute. So we'll get to that. But
one other thing, I care about the love story. I care about the company, but I also want to talk about turkey.
Yeah, we are going to talk about turkey, the best way to do your Thanksgiving turkey. We talked about it a little bit on the show this past weekend, but we'll start with the company.
Okay. So Master Built, and it is a really good love story, not only with Master Built, but as Tanya comes into the picture, as we started our company. But I'll never forget, I'm 8 years old, I'm in the backyard, and my dad, Dawson McLemore, who founded Master Built, is playing with some steel as I walk home from from the third grade. And Master Built was actually started in our backyard.
In like 1973. Which was a good year.
1973, yes.
It's when America still felt like America.
Yes, and we were just having fun in our backyard. And my dad, who had always been my hero, but this was like kind of a unique, special day because I see him bending steel with his bare hands. So I'm thinking, this guy really is Superman. So Master Built was started, and he built a fern stand for my mother. He built fish cookers for himself. So the products that we actually came out with were products that we used ourselves.
Not a business. This is like I see a need in my house, and I'm going to make, and I'm creative, and I'm going to make.
That's how the best ideas start.
Yes. He worked at Goodyear Tire Rubber. Mm-hmm. He had a full-time job.
They had a family of five and a little extra income making these. He realized he could bend this metal and do these household products that other people could use too. So, started a little side gig.
It did, and that side
hustle.
That side hustle gig was called M&M Welding, which was just for Macklemore. Macklemore Welding is kind of a little hobby. Well, as the company, you know, started, we got out of the backyard, rented our first building.
Can I stop you there? Where did you start selling these? He's like, I made one for myself. People kind of like, this is,
like
I could
neighbors?
Do this.
He's selling it to friends?
Did he go to the neighbors, or did he go to the local hardware store? Where did he go in 1973 or 4 to sell the stuff?
He put them in the back of his car as the salesman for Goodyear and Tire and Rubber, and would sell in the state of Georgia and Alabama and go to nurseries and little mom and pop stores.
As he was doing his regular
rounds for
Goodyear job.
Yeah, and he sold $500 worth of these things like in the first week, and they were like $10 a piece. He sold 50, and he comes back and is like, how in the world am I going to build, you know, 50 of these things?
Right.
And
I got four sons.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I've got four free labor sons.
Yeah.
And we all pitched in and literally put a shed over the back of our house. It was literally
so
you're
rented, like a little kid helping to put this stuff together.
I was 8 years old, and I worked for free for the first 3 years. Then I demanded a raise and got $1 a week. The second raise that I asked for, my dad told me to turn around and bend over. He's like, I'll give you a raise. You ate three meals a day and you have a warm bed to sleep in. So
my favorite part of the story is, who was the first employee?
Oh, my mother.
Oh. So, and why was she the first employee?
My mom, because she was R&D. She would
She knew what needed to be done.
She knew what needed to be done, but she would also get in the backyard at eye level, and we would take these fern stands that basically held your plants to water them, and you could bring them inside out of the weather. And she would sit in the backyard, and we would stand on the back porch and level them. So she would say, yep, a little bit to the left. And so she was quality control. She was R&D.
She was craft services. She's making the meals for the workers and the family.
And as we talk about the Masterbuilt story for so many years, there's really where the love story begins, because my mom was the matriarch of our family. And about 12 years ago, we lost my mom. Mm. And Tanya takes over that position within our family. So it's 1973 when we started. We get out of the backyard from 78 to like 84. My dad retires.
But back up real quick on where we went from M&M Welding to Masterbuilt.
That's an important story.
That is an important story. So glad you said that, John. So as we grew the company, M&M Welding is kind of a backyard welding shop name. And my dad's like, you know, we need a brand if we're going to grow a company. And he's driving home one afternoon and says he never forgets kind of having this conversation with God about how he's going to grow this company. He said, look, I'm the builder. You're the master. Mm. If you will help me build this company, I will name the company after you, which is where the name Masterbuilt came from.
I had no idea.
I love that. That is Masterbuilt.
That is Masterbuilt.
You're the master.
We are
builder.
All Masterbuilt, right?
Yeah. You
know, we're all Masterbuilt. Mm. And, you know, that love story has to do with not just Tanya and I, but the love of God within our company, because without him, we would have never survived so many of the storms that we went through. And in 1998,
when did your dad ever quit Goodyear and go, I can do this full time?
He did.
This is my deal.
When he was coming up with the brand name, he was making a decision to actually quit his job and go full time, you know, with five kids in this little small house.
That's not nerve-wracking.
And yeah.
That was around 78-ish.
Yeah, about 70, 78, I think.
Yeah, so we're still like not in a great economy either.
No. It was always really a challenge. And for him, he was like, look, if I'm going to do this, I know I can't do it alone. So if we're going to have, you know, God on our side to get us through everything, he's like, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle as long as you've got God on your side.
That's right.
His story.
Right. That's right.
So so the love story there within the walls of Masterbuilt, Tanya and I, and we've been married for 33 years. We've known each other for 35 years.
So 34. Through that, but
34?
You know,
33,
34.
So
who's counting?
Golly, it is 34, isn't it?
I'm
glad I'm across the table.
Right. 36 years we've known each other. So I'm out of high school in 1983. I become the CEO and president of this, you know, really small family. At that time, 18.
So the real truth, he's the baby of all five kids, but the other kids didn't want that leadership role.
They were far smarter than I was.
I tell you another hand of God on this story is family businesses are very challenging.
Yeah,
and I say this, I worked for my dad for over 10 years. And we're blessed. We're blessed to have a great relationship.
You're very blessed, aren't you, son?
I worked for my dad for 10 years. I know the top.
Aren't you, son? I heard that, Tanya.
The hand of God, though, was that there was never really a discussion. It was just it naturally happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just God putting the four children, the four sons, in the right places at the time.
Well, and John's sister worked there for a while too. Yeah. His mom, everybody worked there, and nobody else really wanted that leadership role. But if you know anything about birth order, sometimes the baby, he's the baby of five, sometimes that baby can act as a firstborn.
Yeah.
I wasn't the
I love
best
birth
choice
order stuff. I was
fascinated
by it. Yeah. So let's talk about family businesses. It's interesting because I think that's what people really are fascinated, that this is a highly successful business, but it's family members working together. Mm-hmm. I hear you, John, too, when you say it's been good. But what kind of challenges have you faced because you are related?
I tell you, and you can speak on your relationship with Pawpaw.
Yeah.
But the way I view it is kind of like God's authority over us is I view challenging father-son business relationships. I think a lot of that weight comes from obviously the father has to have good leadership and whatnot. But my generation struggles with respect on authority.
Yeah.
And I think I was taught, you know, I was blessed to have good teachers, but I always feel like the pressure really asides on the younger, the son, to respect their authority.
Hmm.
So I never took it upon myself to think I should have this, I deserve this, I have to speak up my mind or whatever in a meeting. He's my authority, and not only my authority, but, I mean, my boss. So out of respect in that, you know, kind of basic sense, but I always viewed it as it really falls on me to respect him as my authority, no different than if I had a boss. Yeah.
So, John, when you hear Elon Musk telling his workers that they actually need to come to the office and they say no, what do you think about that?
You want my like bold, honest idea is if you choose to work at a place and they require you to do a certain thing, you can choose to not work there.
Right.
Or just come in and do your job. I mean, to me, it's black and white. It's pretty simple.
Through a to work, you should work.
I think people make life harder than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look at the age group that's probably working at Twitter, and I don't know the stats on what that
they're
is.
They're a lot of Gen Z-ish and late millennials.
Yeah. So I would say that we have, as a society, the generation doesn't want to work like they used to. And I think we need to get back to just really having the desire to work. So to your question about a family business, where a lot of families make a mistake is just because your family does not mean that you are qualified and talented to do the job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should never expect a family member to work outside of their means. And you should never have a family make the same amount of money no matter what it is they do. If you are the president and CEO of a company and you're a family member, you should make the salary of a president and CEO. If you are driving a forklift, if you are in sales, if you're in marketing, you should pay what the position in the marketplace pays. It's different for family members that are owners. There's a difference in paying a dividend to a family member than there is paying a salary.
Yep.
Got it.
Do not mix those two.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you can all share in the dividend as a family if you're equal owners,
well,
but you don't share in the salaries
of
the job that you do for the company.
Yeah, and our two girls don't work at Masterbuilt.
Right.
So they don't receive
They don't get a salary.
No.
That's right.
No.
But you're saying there are family. I don't have a family business. I've never had that in the family. So there are families that have businesses and they're paying people who aren't really doing much.
I got a good example.
Yeah.
I got a good friend of mine that I go to, you know, guys' night dinner with, and he's got a family business from where we're from. And there's eight of his generation in now the third generation of family business. And there's
animosity.
Yes. Yeah. There's imbalances in terms of, he's like, there's two of us that really put in a lot of the work, and we are good at our jobs. The other make the same amount, and they don't. So it yeah. puts a,
it can
puts,
create resentments.
Absolutely. So there's a challenge there. And, you know, I was fortunate. So Uncle Don was 50-50 owners for 15 years with you, and they have three boys. And it just kind of unfolded this way, but I was the only third generation to choose to work for the business. And they all pursued much more smarter careers. all got accepted to UGA, and I was like, I'll stay in local college and, you know, work for the business. But they were
their career paths were different choice.
We joke because they're the smartest out of the family. They had the brains.
So can I back up 1 second? So obviously Masterbuilt has been a very successful business. It starts in a garage in 73. You know, your dad goes full time in 78-ish. You go through the 80s, which I imagine were pretty tough. Mm-hmm. But eventually this becomes a really profitable company where a family that can feed its five kids or five boys all of a sudden becomes something far different where you're like, listen, we're doing actually really, really, we are living the American dream.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that
when did that happen?
Was that the 7-1 or was that the fire?
So different products kind of put us on the map. And I would say in 98, when my dad fully retired, he semi-retired in 84. My brother and I became owners, my other two brothers. And we go through this process for about 14 years where a couple of brothers, my older brothers, decided to get out and do their own thing. Don and I became 50-50 partners in 1998.
So they had no share in the business.
Share in the business, but we just bought their shares out when we were a really small backyard
Very
business.
Very smart business decision.
So our growth started when Don and I, in 1998, and I'll just tell you.
Don's your brother.
Don's my next to the oldest brother. Or I'm the youngest, and he's next in line. So we're, you know, starting this business together in 1998, and we did several things. Number one, we decided as 50-50 partners to tithe off the net profit of our company. And we did until the day we sold. Every single year, whatever the profit of our company was, we tithed to our local church. He got 50% to his church. We got 50% to ours. We also started a Bible study that we did every single week that today John and I still do every week, Tuesday at 8:10. We have
a
prayer
partner. For the family or for the employees?
It's a company-wide. Everyone's invited. Mm-hmm. It's a closed Facebook group now because once COVID hit, we weren't in the office.
So Dad, for 15 to 20 years, had a and you can tell a story of why you did a monthly Bible study. When I came on board, we had this thing at our church called Pastor's Prayer Partners. And it's nothing special. It's just a group of people that you
pray for the leaders.
And you pray for the leadership.
Pray for your pastors. That's so important.
It's just a commitment. Hey, I choose to pray for my pastor. And I was like, man, what a cool idea. Could we do something like that where if you could imagine, and coming from a Christian perspective, pastors take so many hits.
Yeah, they do.
Right? CEOs do too, especially when you're a Christian CEO, like the what's the retail store?
That's Hobby
Christian.
Lobby.
Hobby Lobby.
I can't imagine
Chick-fil-A. There's a lot of Christian.
I can't imagine what type of hits, not only just politically, but from faith, this day and age. And I just it kind of hit me. I was like, man, what if we could do voluntarily, if you choose to come? It was before work hours. Yeah. And then we started with like two or three of us. It grew at times. We'd have 25 or 30 people show up. And, you know, we'd have a couple of us who were comfortable praying out loud. And then if you chose to pray, and we'd come up with topics, you know, it's dad's dealing with the flu. Let's just, let's pray for strength, or we're going into a line review, or whatever the topic is or the thing we needed. So that was a Tuesday morning. And since COVID, we've carried that over to every Tuesday morning. We have a Facebook group that we do it
and
with.
And so the Facebook group is called the Charcoal Connection. And it's based off the biblical story of Abraham and Isaac when he was willing to sacrifice literally his son. And they did a burnt offering. And it says that the smell of the charcoal was pleasing to God. And then he decided, obviously, not to.
That's right.
Isaac. So Charcoal Connection is a great little biblical way to just give some time to the Lord and lift our business and our employees and any prayer needs that they might have that they're willing to share and just lift it up.
I love that. And so you say in 1998, you decide you and your brother, you're going to tithe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did something change in the business as you made that decision as well?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Change.
If you believe in tithing,
you would never not tithe.
Once you understand the biblical principle of it and the blessings that come from it, I would not tithe now.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God, worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
So, can I tell you something, Tanya? It's so interesting you say that. So in Spanish, in Spain, there's a Spanish saying, and it says basically that with every child comes with a loaf of bread under their arms. It's kind of the same thing in the sense of like turning it over to God. So many people say, I can't afford to have a kid. Every time we've had a kid.
I think I said that with every kid I had.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't.
We would make more money. I don't know what happened, but it's like it was, the Lord provides. But again, this is sort of this idea. Give it unto God, and it will come back.
Yes.
You don't do it for that reason, but it's just funny how it works.
Once you understand the principle of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, we were, you know, probably 35 employees, and when we did, and we ended up
later in life.
And
we still manufactured in Columbus.
We still manufactured in Columbus. So we make this run from 98 to 2012 when Don, my brother partner for 50-50 at that time, decides to move on as well. And in 2016, we ended up selling to private equity. So there's been this, you know, journey of where we've taken the company. But we went from 35 employees in three states in the United States to 250 employees worldwide.
Wow.
With a brand that is just right now. John and I are the spokespersons, the family, the founding family.
Brand ambassadors.
Brand ambassadors for Masterbuilt still today because we love doing it. Although we are not financially attached to the company anymore, we're still involved with it. We still want the employees and the company to grow. We're now owned by a publicly traded company called Middleby. They have a lot of different brands. So the journey for us has been quite amazing. Mm-hmm.
But one thing John's not going to say is everything rises and falls on leadership. Yep. And John was a true visionary and very bold and willing to try some new products, go into some new areas, do new relationships. And so he really did. He was so responsible for taking it to the next level.
Tanya, I'm watching you talk about John, and I'm seeing it in your eyes. Tell me how you and John met.
A blind date, and we were set up by our parents.
Right. But get into details.
Yeah.
Because there's a bikini involved.
My dad traded a cow for Tanya.
There's a bikini involved.
Oh, Lord. I couldn't wear a bikini now, but back in the day.
There was a bikini.
I remember this story.
Can I step out? Tell the real story.
That's why we're here.
I think I need to tell this story.
Well, I think he was FaceTiming me off the back of your pontoon one day, and you were in a bikini in the water. So I think you
knew it was a bikini. Key word, Tanya said, bikini in the water. So our parents did end up meeting. We had a condo down in Panama City. Tanya and her parents were renting that.
So you were how old, Tanya?
We were 21. 21.
Yep. 21. So Tanya's there at the condo when my parents drive through to get some scuba diving equipment that was in the condo, and they're just passing through. Mm-hmm. And they
We were meet. From the same town, but didn't. My parents and his parents did not actually know each other. We just rented their townhouse.
You rented their townhouse.
Yeah,
Mom
your family
knew
did.
Of John McLemore.
I didn't
and was
know
told
if it,
to
we were the same
him.
Age, but different high schools. Okay, so he was.
You
a
had
party,
heard about
yes,
him.
He was a little party boy, and I was a very good, timid.
Goody two shoes girl.
She still
I knew of him, but he would never have known me. We were not remotely in the same circles.
Okay.
So as God, we all know, has a plan. 2 weeks prior to my mother physically meeting Tanya, my parents meeting Tanya at this condo on their way to the Florida Keys in Panama City, I had told my mom, I was like, look, I'm really kind of tired of what I'm doing. I want to kind of settle down. I want to try to find a church. And you know, I'm really tired of what I'm doing, and I would like to meet a girl. Perfect world that none of my friends know. Because I don't trust any of my friends with who they've dated. So my mom meets Tanya. She just bebops out as they're, you know, loading this equipment going down to the Florida Keys. And they strike up a conversation. My mom and her mom start matchmaking about, oh, well, I've got a 21-year-old son and Tanya's 21.
Mm-hmm. She is. And Mima looks at me and she says, If I had my son call you, would you go out with him? I mean, and what am I going to say? Right. They're both standing there. So I'm like, oh, yes, ma'am, of course.
Sure. Have you lost your mind?
I'm thinking he will never. I mean, I knew of him. He just wasn't.
And you knew
going.
That she was talking about John McLemore, the one you would never associate with, right?
Yeah. Like, well, right. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not his type. But sure.
At earlier in my life and her life, we probably were not a match. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm trying to settle down, trying to find just, you know, peace with God and you know, become the Christian that I needed to be, I needed to meet someone like Tanya. So don't forget the bikini and why that's important. Because my mom and Tanya's mom, Shirley, are having this conversation about matchmaking. My dad's not said a word. He has met Tanya and sees her, doesn't say anything. So my parents load up the diving equipment. They drive to the Florida Keys. And Don and I fly to the Florida Keys and meet my parents. And we go lobstering. We've been there for the whole day. And we're out on the boat cruising out to go to this lobster hole. And my mom out of nowhere just says, oh, John, I met a girl that you need to meet. And I'm thinking, what? She's like, oh, yeah, she's got just the cutest personality. She is just awesome. Well, cutest personality by my mom, I'm thinking, you know. And my dad, imagine he's driving the boat. He's hearing the conversation between me and my mom.
And he's a hard-nosed Navy guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
I mean,
and my mom's
and
all
thinking
excited.
Personality, she has a great personality means she's probably not that cute is what you're thinking.
100%. So my dad.
We've been 21 before.
Yeah. And we're still men. Right. And so my dad's driving the boat. He's hearing the conversation with me and my mom. And I'm like being nice to my mom. I was like, sure, you know, yeah. Like Tanya was agreeing with them. I was like, sure, mom. Yeah, whatever. That's great. Thank you. Well, she goes to another part of the boat, and my dad looks at me and he says, "Hey, sport, this girl your mom's talking about." I said, "Yeah." He's like, "I saw her. I think you need to call her." I was like, done. I was like, hey, mom, did you get any information on this girl? What's her name? I don't care about her personality, but. So Tanya was super cute and did have the personality, did have the spiritual background, the Christian values that I was looking for. So I get home. I do call her. She accepts. She comes over to my house. I feed her steak and lobster for the first date. I mean, you know.
Yeah, can't beat that.
Can't beat that. And we have a really good time. I load her in my car, take her home. Had a Corvette. She didn't even know.
It was older, so, I mean.
And didn't care.
I'm not a car person either. I'm not either. It doesn't impress me. Yeah. I don't know anything about cars. I got it.
So we get to her house, and I'm like wanting to talk about the second date. I'm obviously wanting to kiss this girl before I leave her, and she likes leans into the back of the car and is like, "Hey, I need to." Not that we were in the back seat of the car.
No, front seat of the car.
And she's like, "Hey, I just need to let you know, I'm a Christian girl. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do all these things, and I just need you to be okay with it. And if you're not, then we can't go out again."
Because you knew his reputation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She like laid it down. So I was like,
I love
this. This is going to be a challenge. Yeah. And I'm all about a challenge.
So then you go, do you want to go out again?
Yes.
Which means, all right.
And he
was such a gentleman and really he.
Which is exactly what I was looking wonderful. For. And if it had been a month earlier, it would have been a turnoff, but that was such a turn on for me.
You're at the right moment in your life.
Right moment, right time. That's exactly what I was looking for.
I love that story.
So we date for a good 6 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And mom broke his heart.
Well, I was going off to school. I was going off to Auburn. I had been at our local college. I was transferring. I met him that summer. I was moving. And He fell so hard so fast.
That it scared you.
It scared me. And I was like, I don't know. Because he had a career. He had a house.
You weren't 100% like, is he in church because of me?
He instantly started coming to church with me. He jumped into
He found God.
I found God.
He really did.
I found Jesus.
I wasn't sure. And if you know about being unequally yoked, I was scared. So I broke up with him. He did find another church that he started going to, and I find out through his family that he's going to be baptized. And they were like, hey, you know, I know y'all aren't together, but, you know, they just said, if you're coming home this weekend, John's getting baptized this Sunday night. Aww. So I was like, oh, my gosh, it's like, for real? So my mom and I go, and we sit on the back row of this other church, and it was really special and really sweet. So then they see that I'm there. He calls me. He's like, thanks for coming. And I'm like, I think I messed up.
This would be where the begging and the groveling comes in.
And then the rest is history.
And the rest is That's history. Wonderful. And it is such a beautiful history because it's a business, but it's a family. And it's really started on this rock of faith.
Wait right there. We're going to have more of that conversation next.
You know, we can't leave you guys without talking about Thanksgiving because...
Can I tell a story?
Yeah, this? Yeah.
So you come on Fox and Friends quite a bit, yes, and it's like I am hearing about some master built for the first time because I'm not a big griller, I'm not a big cooker, you know. And Rachel comes home with a deep fryer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I was just filling in on a Thanksgiving. I wasn't the host yet of the show, but I had a good connection with John. I'm one of the few hosts at Fox that actually loves to cook, and he appreciates that.
I absolutely do.
And she brings home the deep fryer and said, I had some deep fried turkey, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. We have to deep fry our turkey. And I'm like, I don't. But by the way, she cooks. She's like, you're going to deep fry the turkey. And I'm like, I have no idea.
That's scaring me.
I forget what the problem was, but I was having a problem doing something. And she's like, just call John McLemore. He's the CEO of Master Build or the involved Master Build. Just call him. And I'm like, I'm not going to. It was Thanksgiving Day, I think. And I'm like, I'm not going to call this guy on Thanksgiving. And it's like, he's not going to take my phone call.
He told me I could if I had any trouble. Right.
And she's like, he is the nicest guy. He'll take your phone call. He'll help you out. And I resisted probably three times. And you're like, call him.
Yeah.
And so I called you and I left a message and you called me back 5 minutes later on Thanksgiving and walked me through whatever my problem was. And I'm like, this is the nicest guy to call me on to make my Thanksgiving turkey work.
It
was a simple problem. It was a simple solution that you had for me. It was just me being dumb. You're like, well, okay, this is really stupid.
But here's what happened, John. You created a monster because then we got the smoker and like, Sean's calling you all the time
now.
The
last time we talked, I was on my pontoon boat.
You're right. You were on your pontoon boat. Like, Steffi's calling me.
Now what does he need?
Now I got him programmed in so I can really ignore him.
Never.
But you introduced him to how to make, we didn't know how to make ribs. You changed ribs in our family. Like, we make ribs the McLemore style.
And I'm telling you what, it's actually kind of changed. Like, I can do things now, and it's fun, mm-hmm. and I enjoy it. And so as I'm thinking about my Thanksgiving turkeys, I bought two of them this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get I had the medium size fryer,
mm-hmm. yep,
and you sent me a big fryer.
XL.
So I get the XL fryer. So I'm gonna put one turkey in the XL fryer, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I'm not a big fan of turkey. It's dry,
but it's not like that.
I think we should smoke one and fry one. So I think I'm gonna deep fry and then I'm gonna smoke one. That's right.
Yeah.
So
do the spatchcock method that we did today.
We could do that. We could do that. That's where he basically breaks the backbone.
Rachel's giving you guys said make it easy.
No.
You could just brine it whole and do it whole.
Yeah, I could brine it whole and do it whole.
We got a brine kit here. We'll send you home.
But I was surprised at how when I smoked mine last year, and I think I had to call you because I was having.
Yeah.
Again, this is me being dumb, and I'm a total newbie.
Yeah. Now Sean calls every Thanksgiving. John getting a call from Sean.
I can't wait until Thursday.
Thanksgiving with the McLemore's. Like, did you miss me? I'm here.
Yeah.
You can't get away from me.
Part of the family now.
But I was surprised at how moist the smoked turkey was. It was really, really good. And, but if I had to rate them, I think the deep fried is a little bit better.
Sure. Yeah.
But I haven't had a better turkey. So in all my 30 years of cooking my own turkey, that was as good as that the smoked turkey.
That's awesome.
John, when I think about, I think, okay, Thanksgiving, what would Thanksgiving at the McLemore's be like?
Oh. Yeah. You want me to tell you?
I do. I want to know what Thanksgiving at the McLemore's.
Everybody stays out of Dad's way. He throws a towel over his shoulder and he cooks. That is his passion.
No one's helping you?
Well, he does the meat.
Okay, you do.
We all do the sides.
What?
I do the corn, the potatoes.
No wonder you married this man.
I do the green beans, the mashed potatoes. I do the bread. I do everything inside. I make the bed before I go downstairs and cook. So I like wash the cars, then start cooking. Then Tanya gets up, has a cup of coffee.
I will say it's a blessing to be a part of the McLemore family because especially our specific sort of nucleus because our house is a lot of times the place to come.
Right. So all the other all your brothers and sisters and their families are all. So this is a giant affair. How many people are there?
Well, this year we're looking at maybe 30, which is actually a smaller group.
Yeah.
We've lost some family members in the past few years. And then we were saying earlier, like, his brothers
are moved and
their children are married. And so
they kind of have other obligations.
Yeah, they're kind of split.
But 30 is still a big deal. So
it is.
So I get he's doing the meat. Are you doing the pies?
Yes, we do the sides. We divvy up. Our girls bring stuff.
My girlfriend's bringing something this year.
Yeah. What's she bringing?
I don't know. What
She's
is she
bringing dessert.
She's bringing dessert. What do you make, John?
John, help him clean.
John's like, my girlfriend is dessert.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of football going on. There's a lot of catching up.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like an awesome affair.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a quick, we've invited other people to come on over for this Thanksgiving so we could have a big Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I told my producer that any intern or young staffer who didn't have a family to go
That's
home
awesome.
To if they're working, they'd come to our house.
Because a lot of young people are here and they're not going home. It's expensive. I mean, flights are outrageous right now. And so we said, listen, if you want to come on over, you need a place to go and you want to celebrate with
Are you making them bring something? Are you providing?
I don't know. Because I don't know how many people are coming in. I don't know.
They're in some little apartment here.
Little apartments.
So do you do a buffet style?
Yeah.
Or do you all
we
sit,
do.
You can't sit down 30 people at a
We don't sit down as much.
We don't eat until mom explains the process.
No, we have to do the spiel.
It's a funny thing because, like, my older sister's now, got two kids and she's hosted a couple events. And you can tell she's nervous too. And she's like, because everybody's waiting. We can't eat until Brooke tells us what's the process. Where are the forks? Where are the plates?
Yeah.
And mom's tradition is give us a rundown of what we would be eating today,
Mom. Yeah, okay, so, we got to set up right here. And, you just work your way around. And then you got to get your drinks, get your drink station, your dessert.
So organized. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And it's a buffet style. And Mom and Dad have a really cool place because actually a studio kitchen that we do a lot of our videos out of that was built back in the Mashable days. So it's a high ceiling studio kitchen that's built for, production style broadcast. And we use it personally because it's just such a large room and we have these big doors that open and it opens to an outdoor fireplace area.
Right.
So it's just a mix and mingle.
Everyone's sitting.
So as you're never alone when you're cooking. People are around you, and everyone's 100%. Hustling around.
And it's in Georgia, so it's going to be somewhere between 25 to 74. We're not sure how much it's going to be, but it is a family affair. We've had as many as 60 there, and now it's probably going to be closer to 30 because, like Tiny said, we've had some move, and we have some family members that aren't with us anymore.
Will be in Florida this year.
Thanksgiving.
So,
John.
Me and my girlfriend are going down and spending time with her family.
She has family in Florida.
And and then we're driving back Thanksgiving Day and spending, dinner with
great.
Mom and Dad. So
that's great.
It'd be one of the first years that I'm like, I have to sacrifice and go somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. I bet it's hard. That's part of being
show up just in time to eat and not help.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
It's Madison's fault.
So it's food. You're in a business that's around food and around family.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think it's such a beautiful story.
It is. And I will tell you, for our family, and we mentioned our entire family. So Brooke is our oldest daughter, and her husband Brian, and our two grandkids, Whit and Walt. They're going to be obviously always with us for Thanksgiving, and they'll do lunch with their family and then dinner with us. Bailey is our youngest daughter. She's the baker and probably the best cook within our family.
Really?
She's a school teacher now. Bailey is just
the sweetest soul. It's just
natural
for her.
Yeah. It's very natural for her.
She knows ingredients.
Yeah.
She knows what goes with what.
She's super smart.
And she's not scared to experiment.
No.
Yeah.
And for our story overall, family is critical. John, you know, being my son and working with me for 16 years, even though we have sold our business, we're still involved with it. We're still working closer post-Masterbuilt as the brand ambassadors.
We make the same amount of money now.
We do. John actually makes as much money as I do now.
We're the Macklemore boys, and we've actually really never had a conversation.
He actually makes more than I do because he does a few more events than I do.
But we just split everything down the middle. I mean, it's never, money's never, our family's been very blessed. Never let money be an issue for us.
Did you have any ownership in Masterbuilt when it was sold? Because then that might not matter so much.
He, no, he actually had some equity stake in it.
I personally had bought in when we sold in 2016. They gave us an opportunity if you wanted to buy in. So I did buy in a little bit, but
you're selling overseas. Where is this? Is the grill and the, or the smoker? Where are the fryer? Where is it other than
where
America?
Can you find?
What's the country that sells the most outside of
We do a
America.
Ton of business in Europe. Yeah. Australia is really, really doing well.
That makes sense.
Really doing well. We do a lot in Canada.
Mexico surprisingly does.
Yep, they do really well because Mexico, they love
grill. They love to grill
and parties.
What is the best seller? Is it the smoker?
The Gravity Series grill smoker by far is
number
the
one seller.
Best product that Masterbuilt has come out with in our history.
I wanted to kind of mention this because one thing that Masterbuilt, I don't think, kind of gets credit for in our story is since the 7-in-1 grill to the indoor fryer to the electric vertical smokers to now the Gravity Series, if you look at those products, there really wasn't that product at the time we came out with it.
Innovation.
So we prided ourselves on not being a Me Too. We wanted to try to cut. So we had a conversation internally before we came up with the Gravity Series. The pellet phenomenon was huge, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to come out with just another grill, because whatever retailer wanted us to. We tried to come out with something different. There had never been a digitally controlled charcoal grill and smoker. It never existed. And that's where the Gravity Series came from, was us just trying to do something different, trying to innovate in that space. And it's revolutionized that category.
Yeah, so it really has.
So there's a lot of people out there who have a dream of starting a business. I know you guys have to go here soon, but I want to get that in there. What is your advice, you know, for that person who's listening, who's like, I've always dreamed of having this family business, and I'm not sure if I should strike out. You know, the economy's not great right now, John. Your advice?
I would say,
as a successful entrepreneur,
if possible, do something that you're passionate about, that you love doing, and you're not only doing it for the money. It's easier to be successful because you just want to do it. My worst day at Masterbuilt was better than the best day without Masterbuilt in my career. Mm. I mean, I really do mean that. And I think you need to surround yourself with phenomenal people. Don't try to be the smartest person in the room. We were very blessed, and I had a team of people around us, and we shared not only with Tithe, but we shared in bonus to every employee that was with us at Masterbuilt. When we sold in 2016, we had 138 employees, and we shared 138 bonuses. When we sold again in December of last year, those that were still with us, you know, that were the original Masterbuilt teams, we shared with our success again with them. John, too, you know, being with us, he and I have been working now for 16 years. That's been phenomenal. Our two girls are phenomenal. But I will tell you, if you don't have a good spouse to help you in your career, it doesn't matter if you are a Fox News
or a congressman.
Or a congressman.
Your
spouse
is
critical. And I will tell you, through my career, and I've now been in it now for 50 years, I hope, influenced a lot of people. I've had a lot of people influence me. Tanya has touched more people than I've ever touched. She is more relational. She holds our family. She is the matriarch of our family now. That's why we have Thanksgiving at our house. If we have any function at all, it's going to end up being at our house. It's because of her. And the success that I have had at Masterbuilt is because I did have the love of my life, helped me through all of those things. And Tanya, it was never about the money for her, because I'll never forget having conversations when we were working, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours a week trying to get through a particular crisis or trying to grow the company. She sat me down and said, look, if you're having to do this because you have to survive a critical time in the company, that's fine. But if you're doing it for us to have a nicer car or buy a place in the Bahamas, I don't want it.
Right.
Mm. Yeah,
which
family,
we don't have. John,
Sean,
we don't
have.
Do
not have a place in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
okay.
Just for
the clarify. You know, Sean and I often talk about, you know, there's a lot of time that people spend working on their careers. Sean, what do you think is the most important decision anyone ever can make in their life?
We agree on this. It's who you pick as your spouse is the most
important decision
you will ever make in your life. I've read studies on this, but to have two people doing two different careers, oftentimes they're not as successful as if they kind of will choose one of the spouse's careers. And again, like I would not have been a congressman, but for Rachel. I mean, she's smarter than I am. Yeah. She was visionary on what we did, how we did
but
it.
We worked as a team. Yeah. By the way, that felt like a family business.
It was
all of it.
Yeah. Because there was no one else but us, right?
Right.
And I think that's a really, really important, that the support. And even now, like, I'm very supportive of Rachel.
Gonna,
we moved out here
say,
for this part of our life.
That can't be seasonal. That doesn't
have
to be the traditional wife stays at home and supports the husband doing off and making the money. Mm-hmm. That can be seasonal. Mm-hmm. Congress and then you're now hosting.
He left. He never wanted to leave 100%. Wisconsin. He loves Wisconsin.
It's my home.
But when I got this job and we realized it wasn't going to work for the family, He said, we got to move.
I was the one who said, we're going to move to New Jersey.
He is the one that made that decision.
She's like, I'll go back and forth. You can stay in Wisconsin. I'm like, listen, we did that for 10 years in Congress. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to stay together. We'll move to New Jersey. And by the way, New Jersey's been way better than I thought it would be, but it's not Wisconsin. Right. But can I tell you, and you guys got to run in a second, but to have a business or a career where you make people's lives better. Mm-hmm. You think about products that go, you know what? People love to do this. They love to cook. They love to
brings people together.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm gonna make a product where we make money as a family, but I'm going to make their lives and their experiences better with their family. What a real blessing that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
And as people are pulling out, you know, whether it's their Masterbuilt or any other grill or smoker over this Thanksgiving, to go, I'm gonna make it easier and better and tastier. Which makes us the experience. Well, obviously, it's people, but
that's also
the food is a big part of what we do.
I'll tell you one thing that I love.
You make Fox and Friends better. I'm going to tell you guys, when we know the Macklemore boys are coming, it's not just that we're going to eat well.
You make it better.
We don't order out that day. But you guys bring a love to what you do that we love that. It's a four-hour show.
That's what I was just about to say.
And we just love having you.
One thing you can't fake, and it starts with Dad, because the joke I was making earlier is Dad's got a towel over his shoulder. That's what we get at home. What you guys see on camera is what we see at home in private. So what you can't fake is passion.
That is
one thing. It's contagious. It brings happiness. Happiness can be addicting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it
costs nothing to smile.
That's right. I promised you I wouldn't let you go until you talked about this charity that you do that means so much to you.
Thank you so much. So Tanya and I are involved in our hometown with a charity called Micah's Promise. And we have a really good friend. Her name is Bobby, who is heading it up in our area. And it is to help sex trafficked young women.
So important.
Phenomenal,
right now.
Phenomenal charity. Atlanta, Georgia is the number one hub in the world.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? I mean, you'd think it would be like Thailand or something.
Well, it's Atlanta. It's the airport.
There's so much traffic coming in and out.
So we partnered with this organization in Columbus, and we just need to get you to Columbus, Georgia.
And it's
we're going to do that.
M-I-C-A-H.
M-I-C-A-H.
Micah's Promise.
Helping. So I just interviewed a Navy SEAL guy who works with other special forces people, mm-hmm. helping to rescue
the girls that are being sexually trafficked,
children, little children, yeah. because of our open southern border. And I'm sure there's been an increase in yes. all yeah. kinds of stuff.
So once,
going
the,
on.
Once they get out of the trafficking, they need support. Is this what?
Yes,
Mike
this
is part-
this home. Yes.
So it's like therapy.
Therapy, education. Just separation from their
the trauma.
Whatever.
Have you guys met some of the people that have been gone through this system?
No,
through this
not officially.
Not in this local area.
You know, they try to keep it it's a secret location. They're trying to really help these girls make that break.
But one thing that Dad has been instrumental in is because we have a farm and we have farm equipment. Is Dad has been very helpful to the Micah's Promise organization about. Didn't they y'all help them build a tennis court?
Oh yeah, we had some really good friends that were in the same industry that helped build a tennis court for free.
It was local business owners that all pitched in their various skill sets to help build in mm-hmm. build. And organizations like that, they don't have the funds to do stuff. So
and Tanya and I have donated not just our money but some of our time with it. And we can get y'all some more information, too, as to exactly how people can go
to help
this.
Do you have the website that people can go to?
You have that?
Yes.
Yeah. So Tanya can pull that up.
I wonder, as in your community, the different churches and pastors must have tried to compete for the Macklemores and their tithing to go Macklemores at my church.
I'm glad you brought up tithing because it's biblical.
It is.
It's powerful.
It is. And I will tell you what's been so awesome is the number of people that we had within our company that got these paychecks and bonuses also tithed at their local churches. And also a lot of them went to Cascade Hills in our hometown, is the same church that we go to. So the fact that they were able to give was phenomenal too. Mm-hmm. So it is one of the most powerful things you can do. And I will tell you, I'm scared not to tithe because I don't ever want to get to a point that I go to ask God for help. And he's like, well, look, if you're not there for me, how do you expect me to be there for you? Yeah. Financially and spiritually. And it is the best thing you can do for your business, your family, mm-hmm. et cetera.
I remember you telling a story, Dad, about early on in your kind of CEO-ship about feeling guilty about not being involved in church enough or whatever because you were a CEO of a business and traveling. And I forgot who it was that told you this. And he was like, that is your mission field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Masterbuilt, your employees.
AC Levi.
Mm-hmm. Your Masterbuilt, your employees, the Walmart buyers, everybody.
Bible study mm-hmm. that you do.
That is your mission field.
And so the love that you bring. Listen, this is a broken city.
Yep.
New York City is a broken city. Yeah. It is in large part, a faithless city.
Yeah.
One of the great things, we bring you guys out. We bring gospel singers out to sing.
I know.
We brought them out. And they sang a song about Jesus right here in the middle of, Midtown Manhattan. But you bring that love. You bring that Christian spirit. Mm-hmm. You bring that. People are watching our show, and they see that you're a family. Mm-hmm. And that witness to what life is really about. And that joyfulness that you always bring to the show, it's touching. The friendships that we are all building with each other is the real deal. You guys are the real deal.
Well,
I love you guys.
I would say, and Tanya's hopefully going to have this to...
But it's micahspromise.org.
.org.
Yeah. micahspromise.org. Mm-hmm. So if you are inclined to help the very many sex trafficked victims in this country, and as I said, the problem's getting worse because of our southern border and the cartels those poor children and girls are repeat customers for them.
It's sad.
It's really a sad situation. So thank you for what you're doing for that as well.
You are welcome.
Go ahead.
Well, before we close this out, y'all have been very gracious to us. I'm going to return that graciousness because we do a lot of this in a lot of different places. And all of the people at Fox have been amazing. But I will say that the relationship that we have with you, Rachel, has been pretty special over the years. Thank you. It got even better when you introduced us to Sean.
You're not mad that I gave him your phone number?
Oh, no.
No.
Because it sounds speed
up. Y'all
have a congressman's phone number.
Yeah. And I will tell you, because we have a lot of people say, man, y'all, it's crazy what y'all do. They know people that we do a lot of stuff with. They're like, you're friends with X, Y, Z. It's like, guys, here's to understand. We're acquaintances with a lot of the people that you see out there. Not naming any names, but some really big celebrities that we've been in contact with. But we are truly friends with y'all.
I have a text relationship
with
John.
Duffy's love you.
Once in a while, it's like, if I do a hit and I don't get a text from John, I'm like, it wasn't probably very good. But I do a good one, but he'll send me a picture and like, good job. I'm
like, yeah,
awesome.
Even when they're not here, we're in contact with them all the time. I love it.
So listen, I want to thank you all for joining us. I know you had to run to the airport and taking time after the Fox and Friends this morning.
Awesome.
We wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope that this podcast inspires other families to get together.
Yeah, food brings people together.
It brings people together to thank our God. What a beautiful holiday we have as Americans to say 100%. We're going to take one day just to thank our Lord for all the blessings in our lives. And the Macklemores are making Thanksgiving great again.
Macklemore making America great again. So
come
what's
on,
that?
Dadgum, that's good.
Instead of
making Thanksgiving great again.
Dadgum, that's good. We'll take that
one. Dadgum, that's good.
Thank this guy too, Chris Patchen. Media Mule, baby.
Media Mule in the corner.
Yeah.
And as we go into this one, I appreciate that we're giving thanks to God.
Yes.
But I also, I'm grateful that we're celebrating Thanksgiving because there's some people in this country that want to stomp on it, want to eradicate it.
But they tried to cancel it during COVID.
That want to demonize it or cancel it. Yeah, so I think leaning into our families, our faith, our country, and the patriotism. We just got back from the Patriot Awards. And
awesome.
I am more inspired now than I probably was before the start of this week. It started well and it's ending well with you all. John 1, John 2, and Mama Mac. All the nicknames come in.
All the nicknames come in.
We appreciate you joining us at our kitchen table. Very grateful.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving to everybody.
And if you like our podcast, you can rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We would appreciate that. And so this is coming out. And again, this is Happy Thanksgiving because it's tomorrow when this comes out.
All right. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Join us around the kitchen table next time. Bye.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.